Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's sermon is the gospel lesson just read, the parable of the Good Samaritan. I'm told that I have some 6 minutes in this pulpit this morning, so I'm not going to read that text again. You'll have to recall it for yourself. It's a very familiar one. I think we must get right into the meat of it here. Gentlemen, the whole reason for your being here at this seminary, whether you be a faculty member or a student, the whole reason for your being here is that foremost, that chief article of the Christian faith, that God-given, Spirit-inspired doctrine of justification. That's why you're here. If that's not the reason, then just like that lawyer in our text, religious as you might be, you're on the wrong track. Now, gentlemen, it's interesting that the immediate cause for Jesus telling this particular parable was this lawyer's religious attitude, wasn't it? We're told that he, in response to Jesus, wanted to justify himself. His previous question, his first question, had already shown him to be a self-righteous man. He had what I call the peanut vendor concept of God. You put your little nickel in, you get your bag of peanuts out. Quid pro quo. What must I do to get a little something in return? He wanted to justify himself. Now he shows himself to be impenitent to boot. He, wanting to justify, to absolve himself, says, "And just who is my neighbor?" You see, a problem with the chief article becomes a fountain from which so many other problems are going to flow. An aberration with this chief article, with the understanding of justification, is going to lead to what we see in the text here, the establishing of false distinctions among men. It's going to lead to that self-justifying of non-Christ-like behavior. Involved can also be a false view of God and God's standards, a false view of man and man's own spiritual abilities. Now, with this very dramatic picture of the priest and the Levite, Jesus exposes and vividly portrays for this man who wanted to justify himself just how mean-spirited, how self-centered, how wrong-headed his thinking really was. The priest, finding, of course, all kinds of reasons by which he could justify himself, passed by on the other side. And the Levite, too, again finding all kinds of reasons by which he could justify himself, he did likewise. Now, these two very religious fellows, they just proved themselves to be no better than those hoodlums who had victimized this man to begin with. They left him for dead there in the road, just as the robbers had before them. In fact, I think that what those violent men did with their actions, these particular religious men now did with theirs. Oh, you can be sure that as they hurried by their naked, bleeding, abused fellow man, they more than likely very piously offered up prayers on his behalf. You see, that's the kind of self-justifying, the kind of self-righteous behavior that comes from a very warped understanding of how it is between you and your God. Now remember, we're not talking here about folks who really don't care much about the whole subject of justification. We're talking about people who care very much, but who've got it all twisted out of shape. You see, the one who is not straight on this, like the lawyer in our text for today, he wants to place limits where God has not placed limits. He wants to be flexible where God himself is not flexible. What this man tripped over, dear brothers and sisters, is the very truth that has brought you here to this place. So let's not forget who we are. You yourselves have already tasted of the goodness of the Lord, haven't you? You, redeemed sinners all, rejoice that your sin, the very thing that could separate you from your God, has already been taken out of the way, having been nailed to the cross. Peace is now yours, knowing that you have been qualified for eternal life by another. Another who loved you to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, this foremost of all teachings is what has brought you here. And you are here so that you might be sent out to proclaim it to your fellow man, to people who are scattered along life's way, there bleeding and hurting, bruised by all of sin's viciousness. My dear friends, and especially those of you who aspire to the office of the Holy Ministry, what greater joy could there be than to proclaim to sin-burdened souls that God's holy absolution from all their sin has already been pronounced upon them at the cross? What greater privilege than to be that servant of Christ, telling sinners that wonderful news that full pardon and forgiveness with God is already theirs in Christ. For them to know that their life is now hid with Christ in God. Now Jesus held up that bright and shining mirror of God's law to this man, didn't he? And he did so that he might convict this man and that he might really correct his improper belief concerning the basis for his right standing with Almighty God. And that means also then his relationship to his fellow man. Because wherever you find that legalistic mindset, there you're going to find, no doubt, a confusion of God's law and gospel, and thus a false understanding of how it is that people are right with God. But where that truth is proclaimed, that the whole world was justified there at the cross, there you have the very gospel, which is the power of God for salvation. For how else? How else are sinners to be brought to faith than by hearing that good and wonderful and sweet news that their justification, their forgiveness of sins before God was already accomplished by Christ Jesus in their stead there at the cross? What else is going to motivate? What else is going to empower individuals just like you to love selflessly and to love unconditionally as did the Good Samaritan? St. John gave us the answer in the epistle lesson, didn't he? We love because he first loved us. That's what it's all about in that fourth chapter of 1 John. In this is love, not that we loved God, but rather that he loved us and sent his Son to be that all-atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. Yes, we love because the Lord first loved us. There, my dear friends, is the motivation for you to go and do thou likewise. There, in Christ Jesus, in the crucified Christ, is the enabling power for your lives. And now here today, as you and I receive the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, once and for all time given and shed on that cross, you and I will be proclaiming the Lord's death, the gospel, until he comes. Justification. Learn it well. It's the only reason you are here. It's the only reason you are to be sent out. I notice that my 6 minutes are more than fulfilled. Amen.